When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. Oh my gosh, we are so excited to chat it up with our friends from Augustana. Augustana is a part of the Cassia Health Group, and I want to learn more about that from Chaplain Gordon Gathright is on the phone with us, as well as Brittany Thompson, who is the admissions director of Augustana. Well, Gordon, let's start it off with you. How are things going? I know that this has got to be such an emotional time for residents, but I know you as a, personally, we know each other. I know it's got to be a really emotional time for you because you wear your heart on your sleeve, and I would assume that your heart is breaking every day for a lot of the residents, and as you're trying to be their family, their spiritual advisor, and how are things going?
You know, it's not the easiest thing, but it's also a joy to be able to be in this place and to hopefully encourage our residents, especially the ones, you know, we have a lot of families who are very actively involved. And then there are some who have little or no family, and they're not as involved. And with all the restrictions due to COVID, it makes it pretty difficult at times to be able to, encourage those people who really struggle with the different family dynamics.
Gordon, for you, when you go and visit, are you all dressed in protective gear, and how has that all changed for you?
Well, not at this particular point, because what I do is not, direct care like passing medicine or, any time I, like when I bring communion, I, wear gloves, obviously. And then if there are other precautions that need to be taken, I obviously take care of those, always in the mask and goggles, just to make sure that we're, protecting them and ourselves at the same time. So it's, it's a new dynamic, and some of our residents, when you come in with all the PPE on, look at you like, which planet did you just fall off? there's one in particular downstairs who just kind of looks at me until she understands who it is before she'll talk to me. So, it affects different people different ways.
Absolutely. You mentioned upstairs and downstairs. Brittany, as the admissions director, you have patients and residents, don't you, at Augustana?
Correct, yeah. Our floors are typically split up between our transitional care unit and then our long-term care unit. Down on our transitional care unit, those are people who, are usually coming from the hospital because they're not ready to go home. They probably had some kind of surgery or a significant injury or some kind of illness where they're just needing a little bit more nursing care. They're typically coming with physical therapy and occupational therapy orders, just so we're not sending them right home, because we would hate for them to go home and end up right back in the hospital. So our transitional care is kind of just that bridge to transition them between the hospital and going home. And we just want to make sure, from our standpoint, that they're safe, but that also they feel safe before we send them back home.
So obviously they are coming from most often a secured place like a hospital, but do you still go through protocols and keep them quarantined, or how does that work when they first arrive?
We do, yes. So our policy that we have in place right now is that for every new admission, regardless if they're coming from home or coming from the hospital, we do require that every person be tested for COVID prior to them coming into the building, just because we want to make sure that we're not bringing in a positive case. So we make sure that's done. Once we know that's negative, we will bring them in. And every new person does have to go into what we call our isolation or quarantine wing. And what that entails is they're going down into a private room with a private bathroom. And we do have them stay there for 14 days just to make sure that between the transition from the hospital to the facility, there's no symptoms that arise in that amount of time.
I would assume that that sometimes can be a very scary time for somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people who always have a lot of questions just because, you know, with those 14 days, it is strictly isolation. We don't allow family to come in. There is no visiting. The only thing that family can really do is, because that wing is on the ground level, we do allow them to visit up at the window as long as the windows stay closed. But it is still, you know, very difficult for them to come in, and family has to drop them off at the door. And then it's up to us here in the building to kind of be their support system with the family not being able to come in.
Is there anybody that you don't take for rehab?
Really the only thing right now that we haven't done, we don't take people on trachs or vents. But otherwise, most everything else, you know, as long as they're appropriate, we can usually meet their needs.
If people have cognitive issues, are they able to come to your facility?
They are, yeah. We actually used to have a memory care unit that was locked, but we did, unfortunately, get rid of that some years back. But we do assess everybody, you know, it's kind of case by case. Because we no longer have a locked unit, you know, one thing we really look for is if anyone's going to be an elopement risk and try and make their way for the door. But I would say other than that, we do accept anybody with any kind of cognitive issues.
And I would assume also if you have cognitive issues, this is super hard to understand what the heck is going on, right? And they must be thinking, where is my family? What happened to all those good people that I loved and love me? And Brittany, how does it work then after the 2 weeks? Do they integrate into their own room? Do they have a roommate? How does that work, please?
So typically it would depend if they're here for just a transitional care stay, you know, just very short term. They might need another week or two after that 14 days. So at that point, they would actually just move down the other hallway, which is still on our transitional care unit. So they would remain in a private room. If it was somebody who was coming in for long-term care placement to come and live with us here, then they, of course, would still do the 14-day quarantine in the private room. But then they would actually get moved upstairs around that 15th day and kind of transition into more of a long-term care setting. And at that time, they would go into a shared room.
So tell us about your bed availability for both long-term and short-term, please.
So I do have bed availability, both transitional care short-term and long-term care, both male and female openings. With our transitional care, I always do like to point out that, you know, all of the rooms are private. There are some where you may have to share a bathroom, but the room itself is private. And then there are some facilities that do require, they call it a private pay fee for those private rooms. One thing I like about what we do here is we actually waive that private room fee. So I know that's one thing that a lot of people look for when they're looking to come somewhere.
And how does that work if somebody perhaps is listening and one of their loved ones is in the hospital right now? Do hospitals keep you a certain amount of days, and then do they help you look for a place to go for long-term care, or how does that work, please?
Yeah, I'd say majority of the time if they're coming from the hospital social workers will kind of give families a list of different facilities around where they're wanting to be. And typically it comes down to where the family's located because they want their loved one to be close to them. But the hospital social worker will typically help with that. And then it's actually the hospital social worker that sends the information out to the different facilities. So I work very closely with the social workers in the hospitals to try and get people transitioned directly from the hospital over to our facility.
And that process takes how long? A couple days?
Typically take 2 to 3 days. I'd say 3 days at the most.
So if people are getting close to being discharged, that's when they would have a COVID test at the hospital?
Correct. We require, and most social workers do know, just because we've been doing it for so long now, we require a negative test within 7 days of them coming to the facility. I know for people going into the hospitals, most of the hospitals are really good about testing them in the first day or two, knowing that if they're going to have to go to a facility, they're going to need to be tested regardless. So typically it's not a lot of asking for it. It's usually getting done no matter what.
And have those COVID tests come any further? Is it still really kind of an uncomfortable test.
You know, I'm not sure how it is out in the community and in the hospitals. I know for us, we do weekly testing among our staff and our residents, and for us, it's really not that bad. It's kind of just inner nostril, makes your eyes water a little bit, but that's about it. So we're grateful for that.
Yeah, I bet. Does, because it comes out your eyeball, right? I
mean, yeah. No brain ticklers, Mo. We're away with that, thank goodness.
Well, that is good. So, Brittany, what else do you want us to know about your whole admissions process or you as an admissions director, please?
I guess just the biggest thing is, you know, if people are interested, I know with the COVID, it has made it very difficult for people to come in and, you know, ask questions in person or come in and do tours. So I certainly can always answer questions via phone. So if anyone has questions, I can be reached at 651-480-5926. And then as far as tours go, there is one thing I'm working on where I'm trying to get some videos put together of just some virtual tours. And once I get those put together, that would allow me to either text message them to families who are wanting to see what the facility is like, or I can send them via email too. So I'm in the process of working on that just to make things a little bit easier to see.
And has COVID changed the amount of days that people are in either the transitional care, probably transitional care more so?
Not necessarily. I would say majority of people who come into the transitional care are here maybe 2 to 3 weeks at most. And that was before COVID came. And I'd say now that COVID is here, it's really about the same.
Boy, it sure sounds like there are a lot of good systems in place to be sure that the residents and U.S. staffs stay healthy. Chaplain Gordon, tell us a little bit about what you are seeing when you're in people's rooms chatting with people.
I think the biggest thing is just missing family members, missing the close connection, the touch, the hugs, and being able to, you know, being able to have that good interaction. I think that would be hard on us, any of us, but I think especially that demographic, you know, anybody 70 through 100, they've always been around family, been close to family in most situations. And so when this happens, like it's happened with COVID, it really makes it difficult for them to try to understand all the craziness that's going with that. So not always easy, but again, it's a good thing for us to be a second family in our caring for all of our residents.
Have some of the residents really become family with each other?
To an extent, I don't know that it crosses the board. Again, because of the precautions that we have to make, it's not hard, but it's more it's not as accessible as it would be under normal circumstances. For that interaction, there is some interaction that goes on, but it's, you know, spaced, and so that really makes it difficult to happen.
What about mealtime? Do people go to a dining room?
In our dining room right now, we have people in the dining room who need help with their meals. Other than that, everyone else is eating in their own room for the most part. But our dining room has been reserved just for those who have a harder time with their eating.
And Brittany, what would you say the number of patients that come in on a transitional piece and end up going up to your second floor and staying? What percentage of people would that be?
It kind of comes and goes. I would say now it's beginning to be a lot more common. I would say, you know, within a month, there's probably 4 to 5 people that come in as transitional care and end up staying long-term care. Before COVID kind of came around, it was maybe 1 to 2 people a month that would end up transitioning up to the upstairs floor. And I think a lot of people, you know, are just kind of starting to realize that with all the precautions going on and the COVID stuff, you know, now is the time if you're able to get your family in and you know that you just can't take them home. It's just a whole lot easier to have them stay here when they're already here.
Absolutely, versus having somebody go through the 2-week quarantine again and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chaplain Gordon, tell us more about what you are doing for the residents as far as keeping them engaged, not only with the world, but with their families?
Well, one of the really great benefits that we have here is we have a wonderful therapeutic activities staff who are doing a lot of one-on-one visits with our residents, playing cards, playing games, you know, helping in any way that that they can with some of our residents who are more able to, you know, to function with games like that. My goal every week is to try to visit every resident in the building. Some weeks I'm not successful, but more often than not, I'm able to visit with every resident. And then others several times a week because of, you know, where they are in their health care right now. And so there's, you know, the rest of our staff are doing all kinds of things to, you know, to pick up the lack of family input. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the blessings of Augustana being in Hastings, is that so many people are from Hastings and so many people have grown up in this area. And so there's a lot of connections across the board for our residents and our staff, which makes it really good.
It really does. And I would assume that, you know, a lot of people are related, even if they're not close relations, they're related to somebody that's in there as a worker. And that helps too, I think, when you can build.
And that's another, I think just another side benefit that we don't often think about, but happens pretty regularly with all of our residents.
Can you please tell us about the name Cassia and Augustana and how that all ties together?
Sure. The name Cassia comes from a biblical spice, cinnamon, that can be found in the Bible. Back when the merger was taking place, they were looking for a different name. The name Cassia was decided upon. It was one of our staff members from the company who put that name out as a good idea. And so Cassia oils have been used in healings throughout the years, and it just really was a great addition for the merger between Augustana and Elam. And so we're getting closer and closer to when we are able to share our new Hastings name here. So it will be Cassia, but I can't remember when that's going to happen, but soon. And it's taking time just because the transition for all of the advertisement, for all of the letterheads, all of those things, it just takes a lot longer than I think most people think about. So it's going to be coming soon. I can't even give you a date, but we've talked about the new look, and so it will be happening soon. Just don't know when exactly that's going to be, so it'll be a while.
Well, we appreciate it. Stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for calling in today, Chaplain Gordon Gathright and Brittany Thompson, who is the admissions director at Augustana, which is part of the Cassia Health Group. And we thank you for calling in. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Oh, Lord.